All right, well, for a few minutes, we're going to look at Psalm 150, if you want to turn there with me to Psalm 150, the final psalm in the Psalter, right? And so, last few years, we've been looking at various psalms, and we'll continue to do so, but I did want to look at this, the last of the psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 150, and we are entitling this devotional The Final Hallelujah. And the reason for that is there is a capstone, you could say, to the Psalter. So, you know, you'll notice that in Psalms 146 to 150, they all begin and they all end with praise the Lord or hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is the final hallelujah. Let's read the psalm together, and we'll just kind of spend some time walking through it. So Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of trumpet, praise Him with the lute and the harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A fitting end to this great book. And, you know, church family, I do just want to continue as we walk through Psalms on occasion at least to encourage you to be in the Psalms, to immerse yourself in these Psalms. These Psalms will be balm to your soul. There'll be encouragement when you feel down. They will give you prayer when you feel empty and don't know what to say. It'll give you a new language. So be one who walks through the Psalms often. This last psalm, again, offers the final hallelujah to this great book. Now, it is a fitting end to the Psalms, because the Psalms, as you recall from Psalm 1, begins with the blessed man. Blessed is the man who loves God's law and meditates on it day and night. And here we have, in Psalm 150, the blessed man who is blessing God. He is praising God. He is a man of praise. So, from beginning to the ending of the Psalter, we have the life of praise, the life of prayer. It does remind us, brethren, that our life is to be a life of praise and prayer. I want to caution us about being the kind of people that tend to separate and make divisions in our life between things that are, you know, everyday and things that are, quote unquote, spiritual. All of life is lived before the face of God. All of life is to be lived in the context of prayer. All of life is to be lived in the context of worship. The context of this particular psalm is not, you know, Sabbath day worship for Israel. The context of the psalm was military conquest. In fact, the type of praise, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a few moments, but the type of praise with timbrel and dance, this did not describe Israel's, you know, Sabbath day worship. This was a context of a military victory and the people giving praise and honor to God for that victory and praising Him appropriately with great joy and great adoration for God's deliverance. So they're praising Him in the context of His deliverance from their enemies. Now I want to show you as we walk through this psalm, first of all, we see in verse 1, the place to praise. The place to praise. Now, as we dive into that, we see that we are to praise God in His sanctuary and praise God in His mighty firmament. So, praise God in heaven, praise God on earth, praise God at all times. Now, before the psalmist gets to those things, he wants to establish that he is a praiser of God. Praise the Lord, he begins the psalm. This, again, is the chief end of man. This is why you're here. This is why you're on planet Earth. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man, every child of hope can say, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why you're here. You ever meet someone who doesn't know why they're here? You ever meet somebody who doesn't know what the purpose is, what it's all about? Well, here it is. This is what it's all about. You are put on earth to give praise and glory to God. That's why you're here. It's all about praise. It's all about magnifying and glorifying God who gave you life and breath and all good things. That's what life is about. Anything outside of that is empty and meaningless and purposeless. That's why Paul told the church in Corinth, whatever you eat or drink, or listen to this, whatever you do, that's a catch-all phrase, yeah? Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So brethren, as we kind of march away through the psalm, let's just kind of wrap our mind around a Christian worldview. And that is that we do not make these radical distinctions between my spiritual life and my real life. All of life is about God. So therefore, no matter what we're doing, we desire to give praise to God. Whatever you do, do all, do everything for the glory of God. That includes family. That includes your diet. That includes our leisure time. That includes our marriages, children, our jobs, our school time. Everything is under this magnificent banner of glorifying God. Let us seek to glorify God in every area of our life. Let us get the glory of God into every corner of our life. Let us not allow for a moment any dark shade in our life to hide in. Let us shine the light of God's word and God's truth in every area of life. Do all for the glory of God. Now we see here the place to praise again. We have in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament. So again, we have praise Him in heaven, praise Him on earth. Every area, every place is a place of worship. Now we acknowledge that the Lord's Day is uniquely set apart for the people of God to come and gather and hear the Word of God preached and taught, and to pray and to fellowship, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together. Yes and amen, but every place in life is a place of praise. Again, be on guard against hiding certain little spots in your life. That's mine, not yours, God. That doesn't work. Every area of life must come under the Lordship of King Jesus. All of life, every area of life, every place is to be a place of praise. Now, the psalmist briefly again gets to the why we praise. Why we praise. Praise Him, verse 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him for. Praise has its reasons. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Praise Him for who He is. That's an endless list. You can never exhaust that list. You will never run dry. You will never run out. Let's name a few ways that we can think about His mighty deeds. You can think about His mighty deeds as we look at creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. How many times have I heard some, you know, snarky 20-year-old atheist say, you know, there is no God? And I say, you're squinting into God's sun. You're breathing in God's air. You, friend, are a renter. You don't know the maker. And one day, you'll owe. Friend, all things, church family, all things exist for the glory of God. We give praise to our God, the maker and creator of all things. We give praise to God for His wise providence. He's working all things, this is all-encompassing, all things according to the counsel of His will. That He's before all things. Speaking of Christ, He's before all things, and in Him all things consist. Think about this, brethren, how the Lord has ordained the world in such a way as to bring the good news of the gospel to you. And Paul reminds us in Romans 8:28 to work together all things for good for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. You think about God's providence very often. You should. You should think about how God has ordained your life in such a way for you to know Him and enjoy Him. I mean, there's so many just amazing stories in, you know, this little room of how God has, you know, brought the good news to you through, you know, people that you never expected to show up in your life. You heard the gospel. The Lord saved you. Friends the Lord has put in our life that we can encourage and build each other up. So many amazing stories of God's wonderful providence in your life. You should think long and hard about that. Think long and hard about God is actively working all things together for your good and for His glory. Think about how He orders our steps. That's from the Psalms. He orders our steps, right? So you're going to get up tomorrow and you're going to go about your business, and you need to be reminded that God is the God who ordains everything that comes to pass, and He has ordered our steps. And He's working all things according to the counsel of His will. We want to give praise to God for His excellent greatness in our salvation. Praise to the triune God who, before the foundation of the earth, the Father chose a people for Himself. The Son, Jesus, purchased those people. The Spirit of God is calling out His people. We want to give praise to the triune God, for salvation is of the Lord. Jonah reminds us. We're reminded that God is the God of mighty deeds and excellent greatness in our salvation and His mighty deeds, even of judgment. You know, brethren, when you watch the news, you're watching a lot of folks who don't believe in judgment, because so much of the, you know, social justice movement that we see unfolding in our day and age is a hunger and thirst for right and truth and justice that's been perverted and bent. We know from a biblical worldview that there will be a day when all wrongs will be made right. We know that history is God's story, and it has an ending. It has a capstone when our Lord Jesus returns. And we see this theme throughout the Psalter, really, that there is judgment to come upon the enemies of God. We see that, for example, in Psalm 149, verses 6 and following. I'll just read a little bit of that. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments of the peoples. Now, this is not, you know, random. This is vengeance on those who were attacking Israel and harming and killing God's people. The point here is that when we give praise to a God, we give praise to a God who is just and right and holy and good, and knowing that one day every wrong will be made right, and that ultimately every single man and woman will come before the feet of King Jesus, and they will bow to Him either to their eternal glory in heaven or eternal shame in hell. But there is final justice and judgment. And if you recall Revelation 19, that is a cause in the end. It's not something we participate now on earth, but in the end, in glory, that will be a cause for God's people to praise. For King Jesus comes, He returns, and He sets every wrong right. Now we see, finally, how we praise, and again, we are not looking at the ordinary, you know, Sabbath day worship of Israel. This is a jubilant celebration in the context of military conquest. But we see praise Him, verse 3, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with lute and harp, praise Him with timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with clashing cymbals, and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, how do we apply this to our life? We are probably not going to have a dance team at TRBC. So, I'm sorry, but probably not going to happen. But what we should get from this is, we should be a people of fervent praise. And regardless of what area of life it is, we should always give praise to our God. So just see the fervent praise here, right? Trumpets, lutes, harps, timbrels, dance, stringed instruments, and flutes, loud cymbals, clashing cymbals. This is a picture of a jubilant people who know that they have won the military victory because their God is in control and he fights for them. And brethren, I want to remind you that our God is a warrior and he fights for you. The Lord is your shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He leads you beside the still waters of life. Nothing can ever pluck you out of his nail-pierced hands. He is not ashamed to call you brother. For all of those who are in Christ, we have every right to be called the children of God. And so we need not fear. We need only look to our Maker, our conquering King. Look to him only, boast only in the cross, and know that he holds all things in the palm of his hand, and give him praise. Father, we pray tonight as we get into our groups, and we pray for physical needs, and pray for salvation of our lost friends and loved ones and neighbors and town, and we pray for our nation. We ask God for great grace to always fix our hearts and our minds on Christ. Help us to remember that you are good. Help us to remember that you're in control. And we pray, Lord, those truths would filter out in our prayers. Help us, Lord, as the people of God to never be self-sufficient. Never look to ourselves as the answer, but to always look to you. And that's why we pray. Bless our time tonight, we ask, and bless our church family, we ask in Christ's name.